Hey guys, welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I'm your host, Alex Christine. And I guess for the first order of business, well, I'm going to introduce my new co-host, Tom. I thought he could provide some helpful insight. Okay. Well, I'm going to move that chair now because that's going to bother me. So that's my thing. Okay, so first order of business is I want to apologize for being MIA for the last like month or so. I felt like I was getting kind of out of touch with my creativity. I think things started moving really fast. I didn't realize what I was getting myself into with this podcast and doing it all like the behind the scenes and the content and just all that goes into it by myself. It's a bit overwhelming, and I was like, I don't even think I'm on the right track anymore. This isn't really what I wanted to do with this podcast. So I think I just needed a break. And then also having Alyssa on really opened my eyes to how much better and easier this is when it's conversational and when you guys can get to hear like different perspectives on things, because a lot of times just guidance and conversations can help us better understand what we're trying to say. So I apologize for that. Exciting news also, we will be having a second guest on, hopefully on the next episode, but we will see. But I want to share a fun fact that I just like realized this morning, just to kind of ease my nerves a little bit. So I think it's really funny that if you straighten our hair at the same exact temperature that we cook chicken. I think that's really funny. Okay, anyway, so the scripture we're going to be reading today, also the conversation, the topic for today is essentially about isolation, why we can be isolated during certain times for a good reason, and when it's time to reach out to your communities of faith, and what else? Yeah, just kind of real struggles that I'm experiencing personally now, rather than just focusing on like past ones, because I think that might be a little bit more helpful, and it will be a challenge for me because I'm not quite sure how to talk about the now, but we'll try. So yeah, but our scripture reading for the day is Psalm 143, and this very much resonated with me, especially after the month of being missing. So again, I apologize. I do fully intend to keep up with this podcast for as long as God is willing and for the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom. But I can't make any promises on consistency as of now, because I like to think things through very deeply. So I think that it's really important for me, especially since I'm doing this by myself, to make sure I'm still taking time to think things through and that I'm not just talking to talk. I've actually admitted before, I'm like, I don't even think I would listen to my own podcast because I do all the editing. By that time, I'm like, I'm over it. So, but yeah. All right. So Psalm 143 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. My enemy has chased me. He has knocked me to the ground and forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. I am losing all hope. I am paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you've done. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as a parched land thirsts for rain. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. For the glory of your name, O Lord, preserve my life. Because of your faithfulness, bring me out of this distress. In your unfailing love, silence all my enemies and destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Okay. All right. Well, since we're, I intend on talking about the challenges that come along with rebuilding trust and probably in broken relationships, which is probably what all of them are in a sense. Well, I guess the first story would be, or one story I could share would be whenever I was younger, I remember, well, I said I wasn't going to go back to when I was younger, but I do have to tell this story. It's really, really pertinent for this part. So, for reasons I will not explain, I used to have a really big problem with going into school when I was in grade school. And by really big problems, I mean it was problematic for everyone and no one wanted to take me because I would throw fits and just basically refuse to go into school. My mom would like just have to be like, all right, we're going, just drive me up the sidewalk and all that. And ultimately that was based in my fear of, I was afraid every time I saw her was going to be the last time I saw her. So I was just afraid she was going to die and I didn't want to leave. And again, not going to explain why that was. Thankfully I grew out of that, but then I grew into another way of coping, and that was with compulsive lying. So I had lots of make-believe scenarios where I truly think it was just my way of coping with life. I've just kind of always had a very rich inner world, and I love that part about myself. But it could be problematic at times, especially as a kid. So I won't tell you what I said, but basically one of the teachers who went to the church that I grew up in, she also worked at the school as a teacher. And one day I was just, I mean, I to her face, like told her a lie. In my brain, it was just part of my like fantasy experience of whatever, like however I was coping with life, I guess, at that point. But long story short, she tells my mom, and as you can imagine, I was in some trouble, and rightfully so. But I remember during that time, I remember vividly like exactly where we were when I asked her, because like I would tell her things, and she would often say, Alex, can I believe you? You know, like, can I trust what you're saying? Because, and my older sister actually has shared an experience like this with me about her younger son and my nephew. And yeah, just how, like, once you lie or once trust is broken in some kind of way, it's really hard for another person to believe that what you're saying is true. And even more so if it happens over and over and over again. So while it really broke, it truly broke my heart to hear my mom say that she didn't know if she could trust me. And I'm like, well, when can you? I want it to be right now. And I think that was a really critical moment in growth. And like, I would say one of my biggest moral, like my biggest values is honesty and authenticity and being real about things. I say that hesitantly because I feel like even on this platform, I'm not as able to be as honest as I would like to be, or as authentic, or as, and a lot of that is because it's weird. I'm not getting any feedback while I'm making these videos, you know, but, yeah, so I think that was a pivotal moment in my youth to experience that from my mom. So yeah, basically it can be hurtful, but it is understandably necessary, that some people might need to take space or can or would tell you that, hey, I'm going to have a hard time trusting you now because you've done X, Y, and Z. So it makes absolute sense. I think for the person who wants to be forgiven, like me, like, so for example, me and with my mom, I don't have answers for people. Like, I can only share my experience and what I know. And even still during these podcasts, I'm not saying everything I want to say. I'll go back and listen sometimes and I'm like, dang it, that's exactly where I wanted to say this, this, or this. And my cat's acting crazy. Okay, so when I think of like some of the key things that would make someone lose trust is obviously a breach of, you know, but like a breach of trust is obviously you've overstepped a boundary in some way. At the same time, I think it's also considering where the other person is coming from and their emotions and maybe what's even like tied to or behind their issue. So, or like their, why they believe that their trust was breached or that you had have breached their trust. And that can get complicated too, because a lot of times I feel like we just as human beings like to, if someone's mad at us about something, turn it back around and be like, well, what about that time that you X, Y, and Z? And then you never, then it just becomes circular and you never really get anywhere, because it's like, let's focus on this issue. So like one issue at a time. And I have found that to be very, very effective. I think it's like, it prevents a lot of arguments and a lot of unnecessary just pain and chaos. And yeah, dissensions between people, it's really helpful to just listen to what the other person's trying to say. And even if you don't understand, you can still say, I don't really understand where you're coming from, but I'm going to do my best to, if you want to maintain the relationship, I'll do my best to either avoid doing that or just, you know, whether it's behavioral alteration, which can sometimes be hard, whether it's creating distance between that person, because sometimes that can help. Like, truly, there are times where there's been some, like, people in my life where I have, at a certain point, not trusted them. But after periods of distance from those people, I find myself trusting them fully and freely again. So I think it's, I always hated hearing this, but time really does help. And time heals and, you know, actually God heals through time. But ultimately, rebuilding trust, I think, is just, it's formed around patience, really, because as a person who has breached the trust of another person, you want that back immediately. But yeah, you just want them to trust you again. And it doesn't always happen that quickly and that easily. And you have to learn more about that person, the person whose trust you've breached. This is getting ridiculous, guys. I'm ready to talk about. I'll give you an example. Okay. And I'm not going to use names. If I've used names in the past, it's because, okay, it's really hard to cut names out, especially if I said it in the beginning, because then you would be lost the entire time and not know who I'm talking about. So, but with names I've mentioned before, those are all amicable. Everything is fine. Like, nothing. I'm not name dropping. I'm not, like, no one should be mad at anybody, like, nothing like that at all. And I also want to point out, though I have brought up some of my negative experiences throughout childhood, my childhood was full of so many great moments and times too, and seasons. I had a beautiful childhood. It's just for the purpose of this and these conversations, I feel like it's necessary for me to point out kind of some of the things that people don't really talk about, or, I mean, trauma is becoming more of a thing that people talk about, but just kind of like how that impacts you in the future and in your future relationships, because that's eventually what I was trying to get to, and hopefully I can today, as challenging as that might be. So I obviously struggle with a lot of different things. One of my biggest ones is probably relationships, and I would say a lot of that is because of trust. So I went through a very long period of not dating, or a long period of singleness, and I kind of forgot how to navigate relationships. I didn't even have an interest. I just, yeah. But within the last year, that has somewhat like reignited, I guess. And I am, it's crazy because I don't know how. Not all of my past behaviors that were negative are, I don't find them present, but what I do find present is that I'm still dating the same, it's like I'm dating the same guy in different bodies. And I haven't dated anyone this year, but I did try, like I did find interest in someone, and that's been the first time in years. So I really didn't know how to handle that and handle when I had emotions, and there were some unkind words exchanged between, well, not really, mostly on one side, but I had to have a moment with myself and apologize to this person to say, I'm sorry that I responded in the way that I did, or for upsetting you. I can't expect you to know what triggers me if I've never told you. So I think that's another thing, like expectations. So when we have these expectations that we haven't voiced, how can we be mad if the other person doesn't do whatever it is that we're wanting them to do, or act or not talk to you in a certain way if you haven't ever made that apparent? But then that's also like a level of control. Like at some point, you know, depending on the type of relationship, you have to learn, like, is this something I can tolerate? Is this something that I'm okay with? Or is this something that really hurts me? And I am not able to, be healthy or live in the fullness of Christ with while being impacted by this, because we are to love our enemies. But there were several examples, even in the Bible, of, you know, because I always thought like forgiveness meant obviously keeping people around. But even in the Bible, there are instances where after Jesus heals someone, he'll tell them to go and not go like leave me alone, but go like show yourself to the priest. I just found that to be though a very good example. And I also find it really interesting that Jesus was often alone. There are several biblical accounts where, you know, Jesus went away to pray, or went to be alone to pray, or you know, after he was baptized by John, the Spirit led him into the wilderness, which I also find very interesting that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, and the wilderness is most often associated with sin in the Bible. So I found that so intriguing. But and also like in Paul, or well, I say in Paul, in one of the books Paul wrote, he says that, or maybe it was in the Acts, I can't remember, but or in the book of Acts, but Paul says that the Holy Spirit forbade him from going somewhere. I wish I knew where, but not, I probably do, but, and I have my Bible right here, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. And that's another thing, while I have incorporated you know, I'm a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. And sometimes I feel a lot of pressure to be perfect before I can talk about Jesus or how he saved me. And I think that kind of testimony sometimes is even more profound because you don't look like a Christian. Like, that's already going to get you a lot of like head shakes at church, you know, and, or well, maybe not at church, not at mine, but maybe some. And I feel that even if no one tells me, I'm just like, it feels so wrong to be a sinner and be here, but it's like, we're all sinners. That is not from God. I do think holy conviction is good, but if it's keeping you from doing things, if something in you is keeping you from doing something that would be according to God's will, then I don't know if that would be from God. Because a lot of times when we're advancing in our faith and we are we're doing God's will, we're often attacked by the enemy. And that's our spiritual enemy, not like a human type of whatever, you know. But yeah, so spiritual warfare often does come along with doing the will of God and just walking in faithfulness to him. Like, I grew up in church, and that was... it was awesome. I did, but I loved it. I loved God. I loved Jesus. But I realized later, I had a more moral focus, basically. I thought, like, if my behavior is upright and I'm good and I'm a good person, then I'm fine. Then I'm in Christ. But, and I did really well with that up until college, and I experienced freedom. And, or like a sense of freedom for the first time. And in that, it was a roller coaster. God was not in the forefront of my mind. And really it was just, I was at my wit's end. And this is about 2019, maybe 2019 ish. And, God drew me near. Like, he just drew me near. It's like I hadn't paid attention to him or thought about him in years. I just was like, oh, he's with me, you know. And then I was like, wait, well, is he with me? And he started to draw me near. And I had a really insane, not insane, just profound dream one time. And I believe the dream was from God. And ever since then, I have been, well, after that, I went back to church. And ever since then, I have been more hungry and thirsty for God and to get to know him. Since then, it completely changed my life in the best way. It was like, the dream was kind of like Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. I didn't say all of it, but Psalm 23 is a chapter to be meditated on. It's a very, very good chapter. So back to, though, personal examples of trust, or a breach of trust. So, with a person who I had found a liking to recently, again, the same patterns were present as they had been in my last few relationships. But I didn't realize that, and I wouldn't have known that because I hadn't had any interest in relationships. So I had to do a lot of I actually made sure this time to keep people involved. That was one of the mistakes I think I made in the past. I just was kind of doing things on my own and not really keeping my family or anybody involved with things to help guide me. And I didn't really even, I hate to say this, but I didn't really care. Like, I was just kind of like, I'm going to do what I want to do. But I definitely realize now I have horrible taste in what I would, in men, I guess, or whatever. So I make sure I get input now. But I'd known this person for a while and we had built a friendship, and then things had started to get kind of rough and there were some words exchanged and we were constantly just kind of like cats and dogs fighting. So we just resolved with like, hey, we should probably just not talk because we, you know, it's just not working. And I was like, yeah, I'm hurting. When it was just a hurtful time. And I was like, I'm not going to get back into this. So he kind of went out of my life for a while. And then earlier this year came back and had apologized for the way he talked to me or used to talk to me. And I thought that was so, of course I believed it, and I do believe it. I think that's very true. And I saw tremendous changes in him and in the way he had talked to me from then on. But it's really hard when you're setting boundaries to know, all right, like, when do I start to pull back if this gets nasty again or something? And I think that's where I need a lot of help most of the time, because I found myself back into the same, just like pattern, not of abuse, but of just letting myself get talked to in ways that I'm like, I never used to tolerate this. I don't understand why I am now again doing this. So it's like, but it was so much easier this time than it was in the past. And I'm so thankful that I know God is with me and that he was working something good in that, and that he has a good plan for me, and I'm confident in the decision that I made and stuff. But yeah, maintaining those boundaries of friendship and everything can be really hard, and especially if the other person isn't really respecting yours. So yeah, just being mindful of that and knowing that it's okay to create distance between yourself and others sometimes if it's like good in Christ, you know? But I again still have a really hard time with letting people go. So it's helpful for me to have people around when I'm struggling in those times of like, hey, I'm having a weak moment. This person might try to come over. Is it okay if we just talk on the phone tonight? So that I'm not maybe tempted to let them come over. Not that that's a bad thing, because I think being hospitable is very good, but depending on the type of person that it is and what your relational dynamic is, it can be a little bit dangerous, especially if you are naturally more vulnerable or just submissive like to others. So making sure that there's someone who does respect your boundaries is very, very important, because people don't mind taking advantage of others. Okay, guys, I feel like you guys don't really know me. There's not really much more to know other than I love Jesus and I'm just trying to do his will, let his will be done in my life, be obedient to him and love him with my whole heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love others as myself. That's really just what I'm, the ultimate thing. But some like fun facts, I guess. I kind of nerd out over physics stuff, like quantum theory and string theory and all of that. And I geek out, watch World Science Festival. And while I couldn't re-explain those things like back to somebody, I definitely follow, and it's super cool. So I like to do that sometimes when I don't have a sermon on in the background. I frisbee golf. I used to play basketball. I love to go on walks and hikes. That's why I'm in this, actually. I walked in this morning. So sorry, I look a little bit more bummy than usual. See here. Two cats, love to stay at home. I love people, but I hate my social anxiety. because that prevents me to for being with prevents me from being around people and really enjoying the time. Because I'm like, oh my goodness, I want to be fully present. I want to be here. I want to be in this conversation and not be worrying or thinking about something like, what's up? What am I going to say next? Like, just truly to intently listen and then not worry that what I might say would be embarrassing or something like that. But yeah, I think that's enough for today, guys. I don't even know what I've like. I should not have taken that break because I really was getting into the hang of things, but here we are. So, but I have not given up, and that's all glory to God. So, thank you guys again for tuning in. I appreciate it. And I will see you when we have the guest episode, which is hopefully going to be the next one. And you guys are going to love her. She's amazing. She is absolutely amazing. Heart of pure gold. I'm very excited. And we're going to be talking about the importance of boundaries and how to set them and stick with them in relationships. So, thanks again for tuning in. Is it too early to say I love you guys? I hear crickets. Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in. Bye, guys.